Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being aired live on beautiful BBS Radio. This is Allison, and I thank you for joining me this evening, and I hope everyone is doing well. I have a special guest this evening who is the author of a book called Miracles Made Possible, which is an autobiography of his own personal discovery of God. And also, in this book, he explains how anybody and everybody can receive any miracle from God, even on a specific deadline, simply for the asking and believing. In this book, he explains his formula for getting miracles, and he is here this evening to share all this great information with us. Please join me as I welcome my guest this evening, William Tucker. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Allison. How are you?
I am well. I hear you have a cold.
Yes, I got a head cold this morning.
So you're bucking up. The show must go on.
That's exactly right. And I want to thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Not only is it my pleasure having you on the show, but it really was my pleasure to read your book because, you know, it is in my humble opinion, and who am I, but it really is a very well-written book, and I enjoyed it a great deal.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I was just speaking sincerely from my heart.
Well, it shows. It really does show. I mean, I think you really do get that across in the book. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. From reading the book, I understand that in your younger years, you were actually an atheist. And my biggest question is, how did you get from there to being here tonight with us all talking about God and miracles?
Well, that's a miracle in itself.
Of course it is.
When I was a child and first became aware of the world outside of my own little world at age 13,
mm-hmm.
I had an epiphany when I read in the newspaper about the children being bombed in Korea and about drunken drivers running down children in the road, and I thought, what kind of a God would create a world that would create such misery?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find an answer, and that's when I decided that there wasn't a God.
Mm-hmm.
Then I lived my life for the next 35 or so years, or maybe 30 years, depending upon myself, going to school, getting a good education, launching a business career, creating a family,
mm-hmm.
and literally had the proverbial suburban home with a white picket fence, two cars, and a TV,
mm-hmm.
when all of a sudden my entire world came crashing down around my ears.
Mm-hmm.
My wife committed suicide, my company fired me from my career, I was in the Naval Reserve, and they were bringing me up on court-martial charges for neglect of duty because I had spent so much time trying to help my wife while she was in the mental institution. I found out that her psychiatrist had robbed us of our savings and gutted our house of its equity, and I was about to lose the house to foreclosure, and just virtually overnight, my life became the life of Job, and it all came crashing down on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the state and asked for some welfare, and they said, well, if you still own a house and a car and a TV, you can't get welfare. But once you sell all your worldly goods and spend all that money, then we can give you $400 a month. I said, wait a minute, I've been paying taxes my whole life. I've got two children here to save. I need to save the house. And they said, oh, well, you don't have to worry about the children. I said, why not? They said, well, we're going to take them away from you. You're an unfit father. So now I was going to lose the house and the children as well.
It can't get any worse than that, can it?
I don't think so.
No.
Except that then my body broke out in a itchy rash over every square inch of my body, and I was constantly scratching myself and couldn't get any peace from that.
Right.
Life had turned pretty bad pretty
right.
quick.
I would say, it doesn't get any worse than that. It sounds about as bad as it can get. So what happened?
Well, I decided that I had lost the race of life, and that all I had to leave my children was my life insurance policy, so I decided to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So, but not being a big fan of pain, I didn't want to, put a gun to my head and maybe miss and wind up in a wheelchair as a vegetable for 40 years, so I decided that I had to pick a method of suicide that would be complete and as pain-free as possible, and I decided to starve myself to death. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a job to go to, so that was no problem. I didn't have any money, so there was no food in the house, so that wasn't a problem. The kids were eating at neighbors' houses, so I just sat down on my couch and looked out the window and waited to die.
Right.
But while I was waiting, I looked up at the ceiling, and I started cussing at God. I said, I don't know if you're up there, you SOB, but if you are, you're the poorest, meanest, smallest excuse for a God anybody ever invented. And I'm going to show you just how weak you are and how powerful I am. I'm going to take my own life, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you have supper show up on my doorstep every day at 5 o'clock or not. I'm not going to eat. I'll starve. I'll die. And then I'll get out of this miserable world that you created.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at 5 o'clock that day, and you know, it occurred to me when I said that I wonder why I said 5 o'clock, because we always ate at 6. But at any rate, at 5 o'clock the doorbell rang, and it was April Gorel, who used to live kitty corner across the street. And she's standing there with a pot, and she said, gee, Bill, I'm sorry about the death of Barbara and all the misery you've had, and I want to do something nice for you, so I made you dinner. I said, mm-hmm. Well, I'm not eating, but if you want to feed the kids, they're in the other room. So she came in, fed the girls, washed her pot, and went home.
Mm-hmm.
Next day at 5 o'clock, the doorbell rang. I answered it, and there's another woman standing there holding a pot.
Right.
A woman I didn't know.
Right.
And I said, who are you? And she said, well, you don't know me, but I used to go to church with your wife, mm-hmm. and I was sorry to hear about your tragedy, and I wanted to do something nice for you, so I decided to make you dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, I'm not eating, but if you want to feed the girls, they're in the other room. So she came in, fed my daughters, washed her pot, went home.
Mm-hmm.
Third day, doorbell rang at 5 o'clock. Another stranger staying there holding a pot.
Were you catching on at this point?
Pardon me?
Were you catching on at this
point?
Not
at all.
Not at
all.
No,
I was
okay.
So self-absorbed in my own misery.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't making the connection to what I had said to my ceiling and these ladies showing up on my doorstep. Well, this went on for... Oh, in fact, I forgot a part. I had said to the ceiling, I don't care if you have supper show up on the doorstep at 5 o'clock every day for the next 3 weeks. I won't eat. I die. I win. Because I thought you could starve to death in 3 weeks. Well,
right.
This went on for 20 days. Every day, a different woman showing up on my doorstep with a pot of food. And never the same woman twice. Never two on one day. Never skipped a day. And always at the stroke of 5 on my watch.
Really?
By this time, I was getting a creepy feeling. I was thinking, like, what is this, a Twilight Zone? You know? So at that point, I said to the ceiling, I said, look, obviously I'm nowhere near death. In fact, I was overweight. Now I'm looking pretty good.
Right.
So I said, I'm sure that if I don't eat for 3 months, I'll be dead of starvation. So I don't care if you have supper show up on my doorstep at 5 o'clock every day for the next 3 months. I'm not eating. I die. I win. You lose.
Right.
And the next day, the 21st day, the doorbell rang, and I opened the door, and there's a guy standing there in a white shirt, white pants with a black bow tie, holding a silver tray. And out at the curb is a van, a white van, and on the side in black letters it says Ron's Catering with a black bow tie logo. And he said, hi, I'm Ron of Ron's Catering, and all of your former employees and friends at the shopping center where you used to manage wanted to do something nice for you, so they took up a collection, but they thought it would be too crass to give you the $5,000, so they've hired me to bring you supper every day for the next 3 months. Is 5 o'clock okay?
Wow.
Oh, I was stunned. I was stunned. I started to cry and laugh at the same time.
Right.
So I invited him in. He served us dinner, washed his dishes, and went home. And I looked up the ceiling and I said, well, obviously I can't win this race.
Right.
So I guess I have to eat. But what good is it? I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I'm over 40. I've gone to headhunters. They said you can't get a new career at age 40.
Right.
So what's the point of keeping me alive? I said, if you want to do something for me, I've got a $60,000 bill from the mental institution that I can't pay. Put $60,000 in my mailbox in the next 30 days, and then we'll have something to talk about.
Okay.
So the next day I went to the mailbox. There was one envelope in there.
Right.
It was a check for $500. Seems it was a rebate on something I had bought.
Right.
The next day I went to my mailbox, one envelope.
Mm-hmm.
no junk mail, no bills, just an envelope. Mm-hmm. And it was a letter from an old Air Force buddy of mine who said, "Dear Bill, 20 years ago I borrowed $1,000 from you. Here it is with $1,000 interest. Thank you very much."
Mm-hmm.
The next day I won a radio station contest.
Mm-hmm.
The next day I got a letter from the IRS saying, "Dear Mr. Tucker, you miscalculated your taxes 10 years ago, and here's the interest on what we owe you," and closed a check for $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't think the IRS looked back more than 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it was catching on now.
I'm catching on that there's a God, and I'm catching on that he's doing stuff for me, but I can't believe me because I'm the atheist.
Right.
I mean, if he's going to do something, wouldn't he do something for people who trot down to church every Sunday? Why me?
Right.
And of course, then it occurred to me that, of course, I'm the lost sheep.
Right.
And every day I got an envelope in the mail with a little bit of money in it. By the 29th day, I collected $15,000 out of my mailbox.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Right, very impressive.
But far short of the $60,000 I had asked for.
Sure.
But you know what? I didn't have a moment's doubt, not a shred of doubt, that the next day I'd have the whole $60,000.
Right.
And
what
sure
happened?
Sure enough, on the 30th of the day of the month, I went to the mailbox, and there's an envelope in there. Now, of course, when the mental institution had billed me for $60,000, I had submitted it to my former employer's insurance company, and they had rejected it because they said the health policy doesn't cover mental illness.
Sure.
Here's a letter from them, and it says, "Dear Mr. Tucker, it has come to our attention that some mental illness is caused by a chemical imbalance, and technically a chemical imbalance would be a physical, not a mental abnormality. So we've decided to err on the side of the angels and enclosed a check for $45,000, which is 80% of the hospital bill."
And there you go.
And there I go. I had $60,000 in 30 days.
Right.
Now I'm pinching myself.
I imagine you were.
I'm thinking I've slipped into the Twilight Zone or I've lost my mind or something, because
right,
these things don't happen.
Right.
There haven't been miracles for 2,000 years, have there? Well, but I'm still not out of the woods. I still had the house that was going to be repossessed.
Uh-huh.
So I looked back at the ceiling and I said, "I need another $50,000 by tomorrow." Next day I go to the mailbox and there's a letter from my former employer. It says, "Dear Mr. Tucker, when you left our employ, you forgot to take your profit sharing with you and closes a check for $50,000.
Okay, so at that point...
At that point, I'm overwhelmed.
You're overwhelmed, right.
I now know that there's a God. I now know he cares about me.
Right.
But I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So I rushed around the house looking for my wife's Bible. She was very devout. And I found her Bible, and I started to read it cover to cover to try and find why was I getting miracles all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all the way through the Bible and didn't find what I was looking for. But, you know, I had no job to go to. I was just sitting on my couch all day long, so I started back at the beginning and read through it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find it a second time, but I'm not one to give up. So
right,
I started back at the beginning, and I read all the way through it again, and all of a sudden I came across a passage that gave me my answer.
And what was that passage?
Mark 11:22-25.
Okay, and?
Shall I quote it to you?
Sure you.
Okay.
Please do.
"And Jesus answered them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and you will. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." And there it is, the formula for getting a miracle anytime you want, every time, by a specific deadline.
Okay, so, all right, we have a formula, or this is how you got your miracle. So first off, let me ask you this. I want you to explain to me, as you see it, what is a miracle?
Okay. I would call a miracle a great big freebie that goes against the rules of logic, the universe, and even against science. For
right.
example, if a doctor tells his patient that he will surely die of incurable cancer
mm-hmm.
in the next 3 weeks, and there's nothing medical science can do to save his life.
Right.
And then miraculously, his cancer disappears overnight.
Right.
I'd call that a miracle.
I would call that a miracle, absolutely.
And thus far, I've helped 7 people who were declared dying of incurable cancer
right.
to have their cancer disappear.
Right. Well, that's the one thing that is, I think, particularly amazing in your book is, well, not only your story. I mean, let's face it, you had food more or less being delivered to your house. If I add it all up, 50 days in a row when you take what happened before you got the extra 30 days, but... I mean, that's
well,
just...
Well, no, it was 3 weeks, which is 21 days, and then 3 months.
Oh, 3 months,
which is
okay.
90 days.
90
so,
days, yeah.
So we're talking about 111
okay.
days.
Okay, all right, thank you for the correction. Okay, so you got food coming, that's just hard to believe, okay? And then all the other things with the money that came through for you, that's amazing. But what's even more amazing is you know, certainly we're going to talk about this, the formula for getting a miracle, but I was just blown away by the examples of some amazing miracles that you have received or you have witnessed in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, quite frankly, blown away. Unequivocally, it wasn't a coincidence. It was an absolute, complete, and total miracle. I think that one of my favorite miracles was the lady that came into your real estate.
Office.
And she was looking for a home by 9 o'clock the next morning, and she came in at 10 o'clock at night.
Right, and was stone broke.
Was
her
stone
husband,
broke.
Her husband was an alcoholic and hadn't worked in 10 years.
But she believed that she was going to have a house by tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Unequivocally.
Unequivocally.
And when I challenged her on that,
right.
she said, "Well, Mr. Tucker, don't you believe in God?" I said, "Oh, absolutely, I believe in God. You've come, you know, I'm the last person that you have to ask that question of."
Right.
She said, "Well, then why don't you believe that God's going to give me a home by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning?"
Right. So I know
said, because you have no money.
Right.
You have no job. You have nothing to base it on.
Right, and there's real estate people out there that are probably listening going, yeah, right, okay, so you come into my office. Technically, your office was closed.
Right.
She wasn't even supposed to be able to get in the door, but she had left the door open for an agent to come in.
Exactly.
She has no money. Her husband has a minimum wage job,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted a house by 9 o'clock. Any real estate agent that's out there listening right now be shaking their head going, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, you got to apply for a loan. That takes 6 weeks right there.
Yeah, just the paperwork is going to take you forever.
Let
right?
alone making an offer and having it accepted. That
okay.
takes weeks.
Okay, would you care to share a little bit about that miracle?
It's incredible. You know,
it is incredible.
I sat her down, and it turns out that her husband had just gone sober after 10 years of being an alcoholic, had gotten a job as a janitor at a large manufacturing plant here in town, and... They had come from up northern Wisconsin down to Milwaukee
mm-hmm.
and had made arrangements to rent a home. Well, when they started moving their furniture in, the lady who lived in the home, the old lady, wasn't moving out. And they said, "Well, why aren't you moving out?" She said, "Well, I'm not leaving the house. I just wanted a family to live with me." Well, she said, "Well, that's unacceptable to us." So she moved them into their basement
uh-huh.
and the family had to wash up at the gas station down on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd been living like that for several weeks, and they couldn't tolerate it anymore, and so she said, "I asked God to give me a house by tomorrow morning and lead me to a realtor who would do it for me."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Well, I am licensed, but I'm not a practicing realtor. I've never sold a house in my life." She said, "Well, if you got a license, you can get us a house. We want one by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning." So I said, "Well, how much does your husband make?" And she told me, and I calculated it out, and I said, "Madam, the most you can afford is a $30,000 house, and there is no $30,000 house on the market. The cheapest one is $45,000. She said, "Okay, we'll take that one." I said, "You don't understand. The bank is not going to approve you for a $45,000 house on your income." She said, "Oh, ye of little faith."
Really?
So I said, "Okay." She said, "It's your obligation as a licensed broker to make our offer." I said, "Okay." So I called up the listing agent. This is like at midnight now.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "I have a party that's interested in your house at such and so an address, and they want to offer $30,000. Well, the other realtor was incensed. She said, "Well, that's an insulting offer. This house has been on the market for 2 years. It's a jewel of a house. You know, you can't get it for less than the asking price of $45,000. I said, "My couple can't afford that. $30,000 is all the bank is going to qualify them for a loan."
Right.
And she said, well, I'm not going to pass that offer on. I said, you have to. Your license, you have to give any offer to your seller.
Right.
So she said, okay, hung up, call back. Well, when she called back, she said, we'll counter at $40,000. I said, you don't understand. My people would pay the $40,000 if they had the $40,000. They don't have that much money. So, can you hold 1 second?
Sure.
All right.
Again.
Well, I wanted to, my computer just went down, but that's all right. We'll just let it go.
We'll let it go.
So at any rate, I said they would pay the $40,000 if they had it. They just can't afford that. They can only afford $30,000.
Right.
So she said, well, I'll call you back. Well, she called back about 1 o'clock in the morning. She said, well, the owner wants to show the house to your couple tomorrow morning. Would 8 a.m. be okay? I said, well, sure. So we pull up in front of this house. Now, admittedly, it was not in one of the better areas of the neighborhood in the city, but it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
We pull up in front of this house, and it's a jewel. It's a cute little Cape Cod, immaculately kept.
Mm-hmm.
We go in, it has brand new carpeting throughout, brand new windows, has brand new refrigerator and stove in the kitchen, brand new linoleum floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And so the realtor says, don't you think it's worth $45,000? I said, it's worth every penny. My people can't afford it. So she said, well, let's go over to the owner's house and see what we can negotiate. So we drove out to the suburbs to this huge, sprawling 5,000-square-foot ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And this big bear of a man with short-clipped haircut, crew cut, and bib overhauls and big meat hook hands welcomes us at the door and says, come on in. We'll go in the kitchen and have a cup of coffee. So now we go in the kitchen. We got my husband and wife at one end of the table, the seller and his wife at the other end, and the realtor and I are in the middle on opposite sides facing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pouring coffee and putting out donuts. And the bear of the house owner looks at my buyer and says, what's the matter with you that you can't afford the minimal house for your cute little family here? Because they had two small sons.
Sure.
And he says, well, sir, to tell you the truth, I've been an alcoholic for the last 10 years, and I just got a job, and this is all my realtor says I can offer.
Uh-huh.
And the seller says, well, where do you work? And he says, well, I work at Heinrichsbaker as a janitor. He said, what? I just retired from Heinrichsbaker as the head of the maintenance department 2 years ago. He said, who are you working for? He said, I'm working for Charlie Parker. Well, I hired Charlie myself 15 years ago. Charlie was an alcoholic, and I decided to give him a chance. So you're telling me Charlie's taking a chance on you? He said, that's right, sir. He said, tell you what, you can have the house for $30,000. And the wife says, can we move in right away? And the other realtor says, oh, no, you have to apply for a loan and everything. And the owner of the house says, I'll finance it myself on a land contract. Throws the keys to the house down the table to the wife and says, you can move in right now.
And there, yes.
And I look at my watch and it's 9 a.m.
9 a.m.? Was it 9 a.m. really? Yeah, that's
it
right.
It was, and they got their house.
And did you not? What did you, when you were in that moment, in that very moment, what did you feel?
I got to tell you the truth. I wasn't surprised. I've seen so many miracles up to that point in my life. I was not surprised, but I can tell you the other realtor was stunned. Her mouth was agape.
Right.
When we walked out of the house, the rest of the party was walking ahead of us, and we were kind of lagging behind, and she stopped me, and she turned to me, and she said, Did I think what happened just happened?
And
I said, you just witnessed a miracle.
That's right.
She said, that's incredible.
Right. Well, let's talk for a minute here about, because there's, as I said, there's so many incredible stories of miracles in this book that are just so inspiring, and also, there's no question that a miracle occurred, and I really encourage everyone, certainly to, you know, for that inspiration alone, to read this book. But
have we mentioned the name of the book?
Well, yes, I have, dear. I mentioned it. Did you want me to mention it again? Because you know what, I'd be happy to. The book is Miracles Made Possible by William Tucker, and it's available on Amazon.com. And we certainly can give out your website. You want to give out your website there?
Sure. It's miraclesbook.com.
That's right, miraclesbook.com. Okay, so anyhow, where was I? Okay, so we were talking about all these wonderful miracles that are inspirational in the book. And certainly anyone that has ever been in that place of asking God for a miracle knows what it's like to be in that place to ask for a miracle. But you have a criteria. It's like a three things that you consider to be quite necessary in order to receive a miracle. And that is also a part of what you concentrate on in this book. So I was wondering if you wanted to take a moment and discuss what that is.
Absolutely. If we go back to that quote, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, being taken up and cast into the sea, mm-hmm. and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody knows that mountains don't have legs, and there's no way they're going to jump, let alone into the sea. But Jesus wasn't making a parable or an example. He meant it. He meant that if you believed in your heart of hearts that that mountain was going to jump in the sea, it would physically jump into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he used that example because it sounds like an impossibility.
Right.
But that's what miracles are. They're impossibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But the formula that I call formula is a three-step process.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, mm-hmm. believe that you receive it and you will. And so everybody reads that and says, oh, all I have to do is ask God for my miracle. So please, God, bring me a green bicycle for Christmas.
Right.
And then they look and they look and they look and they wait and they wait and they wait. And Christmas comes and there's no green bicycle under the tree. Now, what's going on?
Right.
Either God's a liar or God doesn't exist.
Right.
But we don't look at the fallibility. God is infallible. Man is fallible. If there's a breakdown in communication between mankind and God, we got to look to mankind for where he screwed up.
Right.
Now, if you dissect that paragraph, it actually says you have to do three things to get a miracle. Number one is stand and pray and ask God for whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say good things. It says whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
It can be bad things. It can be selfish things. It can be greedy things. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want, God will give you. Now, step two is you have to believe in advance that it is already done.
Mm-hmm.
And step three is you have to forgive anybody you have anything against.
Mm-hmm.
Now, number one's real easy, to stand and ask God in prayer for what you want.
Sure.
Everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Step three is pretty tough.
Right.
You have to think about who you have anything against, who you hate in your heart because of something they've done to you to injure you in your life.
Right.
And you have to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Truly forgive them. You can't give them lip service. God doesn't buy lip service.
All right.
You have to truly believe in your heart that you have forgiven these people. And that's pretty tough.
Right.
But if you can come to grips with that, the next thing is almost impossible. Step two is almost impossible. Believing in advance that what you're asking for is going to come to pass.
Because there's actually ways that we hurt the receiving of our miracle because of that belief system, like worrying or asking again.
Exactly.
Same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
Right.
If you ask once, God, please cure my incurable cancer.
Right.
And then the next day you ask him again. Well, why are you asking him again? Didn't you believe the first time?
Sure. That makes
sense. If you didn't believe the first time, do you believe this time? And if you don't, and you have to ask again tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
how many tomorrows do you have to ask before you're going to truly believe that God is going to hear your prayer and answer it?
Right. So you kind of have to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Right.
First, you have to believe in your heart of hearts that God won't let you down. And he says right in Mark 11, 22 to 25, and he says it in the Quran, and he says it in the Torah, a reference to the Old Testament. Isaiah said, before you ask, I will have answered.
Right.
Quoting God.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the holy books say the same thing.
Right.
They all say, if you believe that it's done before you can see proof of it,
right,
then it will be done for you.
Right. Right. And so, you also,
mm-hmm.
I noticed one thing that you say, and I almost as though it's like a, I don't know if it's your mantra or your signature, is you receive what you believe.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
In other words, there's a correct way to pray and an incorrect way to pray. And I would suggest that any way other than saying a prayer of thanksgiving would not work. For example, thank you, God, for having already cured my incurable cancer is a beautiful prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're declaring to the universe that you believe that your cancer has already been cured even before you can see evidence of it.
Right.
And I call that a prayer of thanksgiving, and that's the correct way to pray.
Right. Right. Well, you know what, Bill? And I'm not sure if anyone's listening, but maybe there's people out there that are listening to you, and maybe they have their own issues or things in life, or maybe they need a miracle in their life. So
mm-hmm.
what I would like to do is I would like to open up our lines, if you don't mind. Maybe somebody might want to call in and ask you a few questions, or
that's
maybe
fine,
get your
but
advice
I'd like
on
to put out one caveat first.
Oh, sure.
I can't get a miracle for anybody else. I have a difficult time getting them for myself. Although I do get, lately, in the last 5 years, I've been getting a miracle every day.
Sure. Because
I've finally gotten used to how to do it properly.
Right.
But I can help others learn how to do it for themselves.
All right, then that's what we're talking about here, is that
mm-hmm.
you can give them some advice
sure.
on how to ask for a miracle.
Sure.
So what I'd like to do is open up our phone lines, and of course, if anybody wants to call in, you're more than welcome to if you have a question for Bill. First off, I'm speaking to William Tucker, call him Bill, because I've talked to him a few times on the phone. He's a very personable guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's written a book called Miracles Made Possible, which is available on Amazon.com, and we're discussing the book this evening. And you're welcome to call in with your comments or your questions. We would just love to hear from you. Our toll-free numbers are USA 877-876-5227. You can call toll-free from Canada at 1-888-815-9756. And certainly if you're in the California area, you can call the station direct at 530-876-3222. And if you didn't write down those numbers, if you didn't catch them quick enough, you can find them right there on the front page of www.bbsradio.com. And maybe somebody's got, you know, maybe calling to ask for some advice from you. I don't know. But I do know you also stress the importance of saying thank you in your prayer, even when you're done with your prayer, to say thank you as if, that's almost like a seal of acknowledging the fact that you've already received it, correct?
Exactly. You have to put the issue out of your mind once you've thanked God for having delivered your miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So the proper way to pray is to say, thank you, God, for having already cured my incurable cancer.
Sure.
Now, you then say thank you.
Right.
And you put it out of your mind.
Right.
And you don't think about it again, because if you think about it again, you're only worrying. You're worrying, how is God going to do this? When's he going to do this?
Right.
And that's doubt.
Or how he's going to do it.
Or how he's going to do it.
Sure.
And if you express doubt, mm-hmm. that undoes your miracle. You have to be absolutely 100% confident that he's going to deliver. So the way you do that is to put it behind you. You say,
right.
thank you, God. Now you don't have anything to ask him again tomorrow or the day after because you've put it to bed.
Right. But there's a lot of people that don't have that strong of a faith to
just let
go and let God.
It's hard. I knew how to do this. I did this for 18 years, and then I lost the feel for it. And I went through a 7-year fallow period where I didn't have a job. I lost my house to foreclosure and my car to repossession. I had no income. I was on the street. And then I remembered what I was doing wrong. I had been worrying,
mm-hmm.
where is God going to get these miracles for me?
Right.
And as soon as I put that behind me, manna from heaven fell, and I had free money given to me time and time again until I got back on my feet.
Right, right. So the hardest thing to do, I think, is believing, is the believing aspect.
Probably, it may be better said, is to the forgetting part.
Oh, forgetting.
If you're dying of incurable cancer and you ask God to cure your cancer, now you have to forget that you have incurable cancer.
Right.
You have to think.
Right.
That you're healthy.
Right.
That's very hard to do.
That is very hard to do.
Because science says you're
right.
dying.
Right, exactly.
But God says you're not dying.
And this is another thing of going against what you're being told as well. You know, it's like
exactly.
hearing what a doctor says or hearing what the family's saying. And it's, you know, this is, oh, they're going to be dying here shortly. And it's actually believing, going against what you're hearing, seeing, feeling all around in your environment. But putting
exactly
that faith
right.
in God, believing, asking for the miracle, believing it, and just letting go and know that your miracle has been given to you and it's been answered, and thanking God for that.
In fact, your heart is
telling you one thing, but your environment is telling you something entirely different.
Exactly. And
right.
You mentioned my slogan, you receive what you believe.
Right.
Well, there's another one. What you fear, you draw near.
True. And
so if you're afraid you're going to die of cancer,
right,
and you worry about it,
right,
then you're just drawing the cancer to you.
Right.
And
right.
Since God gives you not what you ask for, but what you believe,
mm-hmm.
If you believe you're going to die of your cancer, you're going to.
Right.
If you believe you're going to be cured of your cancer, you're going to.
Right.
Because God doesn't answer all prayers, but he does answer all beliefs.
Okay.
Look at it this way. There's 6.5 billion people in the world, right?
Right.
Every one of them are going to God every day asking for a miracle or some solution to an issue they have.
Right.
That's an awful lot of work to put God to. Six and a half billion requests every day. Sometimes more than that, because sometimes people are asking for more than one thing. So what he did is he put us on what I call automatic pilot. He says, I'll tell you what, whatever you believe is what I'll give you.
Right.
You believe you're going to die of your cancer, you'll die. You believe you're going to be cured of your cancer, you're cured.
Right. Okay.
It's a fail-safe system. Did you ever see the movie Bruce Almighty?
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yes, I did.
I loved it because when Bruce's got God's responsibility, he's trying to deal with these billions of miracle requests every day.
Right.
And he thinks he'll put them in filing cabinets, and all of a sudden his room fills up with filing cabinets full of drawers full of miracle requests.
Right.
And the next thing, he decides to put it on Post-it notes, and every square inch of his room, including himself, is covered with Post-it notes. Then he goes to put them on his computer, and they're just flying off the screen. Well, that's how busy God would be if he had to deal with every issue individually, but he doesn't have to. He just put us on automatic pilot and says, what you believe
is
what you'll receive.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you really quickly. I know we have a caller.
Okay.
But I did want to ask you, you know, why did you put all this down in this book? What was your major motivation for writing this book?
Well, as I said earlier, I felt like I had slipped into the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that many people think that God stopped performing miracles 2,000 years ago. But in point of fact, as I got to chatting with people about this, I found out that everybody has experienced a miracle or knows of somebody who has. So by extrapolation, that means everybody in the world knows of at least one miracle. So
sure.
They're still happening today. And I thought that I wanted to share the secret of how to get any miracle you want by a specific deadline with as many people as I could.
Okay. And that brings me to my next point. And my next point is, you know that I hear you, caller, and I know you're there, and if you just hang with us just a little minute, we'll be right with you. But the one thing I wanted to point out here, Bill, is you know that you gave me your numerology. I'm a numerologist. I'm all about the numerology.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just said, you just got done explaining in your own words why you wrote this book, because you wanted to share your message about miracles with others.
Right.
And, you know, and I explained to you this thing that's called the maturity number. And when it falls into life, it usually falls in middle age. And what it says about a person is they have defined by their experiences in life, their truth that connects them to God. And then upon defining their truth, they set about to share that information to help enlighten others.
And you say that's in my numerology.
That is in your numerology. That is where you belong at this time in your life. And that's what this book. To me, when I hold this book in my hands, not only the fact that this is a wonderful book and it's very inspirational and it's really a beautiful tool, but also it makes me incredibly proud of you, because when I see this maturity number with you, I know that this book represents that message, and so it helps to validate numerology for me. So I just wanted to throw that into my show here.
Okay.
Now I want to take the caller. So who's calling, please?
Do you want first and last name or just first or both?
You just can give it just your name. Who's calling?
It's Vicki Fox. Hi.
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
Good. I'm really excited listening to this, and I have a question for Bill for
sure.
Something that he said. Should I shoot?
Go ahead.
Okay, the question is, if you have someone who is like myself, who is a worrier,
mm-hmm.
and you want to employ the formula,
mm-hmm.
have you blown it after you're working really hard to have this faith and you're saying, okay, you know, by X number of days I want to have this number enrollment in a workshop that I'm hosting.
Okay.
And then, you know, the next morning I'm feeling really good about it, and then the next day somewhere I go, the old fear or worry comes in.
Absolutely.
Can you negate that? You said, you know, you don't only want to keep asking God for the same thing over and over again. So what do you do for the human factor when you have someone who's a worrier?
Excellent question. And, of course, what you've described is something we all experience. And even after 25 years of getting miracles on a regular basis, I still have those doubts creep in. Giving an example, during a 12-month period, I had no money for my rent. And every month I would say to God, well, you better give me next month's rent because I don't have any source of income. And I would put it out of my mind on the first of the month. By the 29th of the month, I was getting shaky.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the money yet, and I needed it in a couple of days, and I started to doubt. I started to wonder, is the money going to show up on time? And then I would catch myself doubting, and I would laugh, and I would laugh out loud. And I'd say, how silly I'm being. Of course the money's going to be here. What alternative is there? What, I'm going to die? I'm going to get thrown on the street and starve and die? If that were the case, there'd be dead bodies laying all over America. Mm-hmm. And there aren't, because God always comes through in the 11th hour. So my solution to when worry creeps in is just to laugh at yourself and dismiss it from your mind again.
Okay.
And sure enough, on the first of the month, I'd get a check in the mail from some source, unexpected, uncalled for, unexplainable, and I'd pay my rent. And that went on month in and month out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Vicki, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
And speaking of Vicki, one thing that I did want to let people know, and specifically if any of you listeners are in the Philadelphia area, certainly Harrisburg and also
Westchester,
you're doing some seminars that are upcoming on April 11th, the Circle of Miracles in Philadelphia, PA.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read all about this at www.susanduvalseminars.com, and that's spelled S-U-S-A-N-D-U-V-A-L seminars.com. I believe there's a link on my page there, right on the front page of BBS Radio. And Susan is just a wonderful, delightful person who brings all these inspirational speakers into the Pennsylvania area, and she's doing such great work out there, and you're doing a workshop for her on the 11th.
Yes.
On the 12th, you are doing a workshop at the Unity Church of Harrisburg, PA, for Vicki Fox Productions.
Correct. VickiFoxProductions.com.
Right, VickiFoxProductions.com, and also the SAMA Center, Westchester, PA.
On the 13th.
On the 13th, so.
And that's www.SAMACenter.com.
SAMACenter.com.
S-A-M-A.
Right. And I have to say that, you know, Susan Duvall, Vicki do some really wonderful work in this area, and they have some extraordinary speakers such as yourself that come in on a weekly basis. And there's so many, it doesn't matter what topic, there's just an incredible amount of topics, most of them very spiritually based, and they're doing some wonderful work. So a big shout out to those two girls who are doing a great job. So,
mm-hmm.
And you're going to be a busy boy then, apparently, right?
I certainly hope so. I hope we have a big turnout. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do a demonstration at my seminars.
Yeah, you have me intrigued on that.
As I said to you privately, it's not something that I can do on the radio. It has
right.
to be done in person.
Right.
But it will absolutely astound the audience.
Okay. Well, you're just going to make me have to go now, right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. I see that. I see the writing on the wall. I see that. Okay. One thing I wanted to talk to you about is we do share the same love of a very great book that was written and its author, which is the book is Conversations with God by Neil Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I know myself that that particular book, and I know he's written many, many books after that, which I've read, but that particular book, the first book, was changed my life and my perception of things. Or if anything, it helped to validate much of what I know in numerology, what I have learned from my experience of working with numerology, and so it was such a pivotal, important book for me.
Bingo.
And I know,
the important thing is that it validated what you had come to conclude on your own.
Right, on my
own. And that's what most people get out of those books.
Right. I mean, I literally was reading words in Neil's book that I had actually said with my own mouth, you know, meaning
sure.
the things that I believe to be true. And it really was a book that brought tears to my eyes because of the validation that I found in the book. And I know that you have this very same regard for Neil and his work and his books. How has reading that book changed your life or affected you?
Well, I'll tell you, at the time I came across that book, again, I was living in my house. I had gone 4 years without making a house payment. And according to the law, you have to be evicted after 6 months of no house payment.
Mm-hmm.
But every day I went to God and said, give me another day in the house, God. And sure enough, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down to my last $50.
Sure.
And I needed something from Kinko's down the street. So I jumped in my car to drive the 6 blocks. And I never turn on my car radio for such a short trip, but something just compelled me to do so, and I turned on the radio, and there was Neil Donald Walsh talking about his book. So I pulled into the parking lot, and I was fascinated by this man and his revelations.
Mm-hmm.
And when the show was over, I turned off the car, and I was right in front of a bookstore, and I thought, this man is purporting to have written a book where he quotes God. I can't believe it. So I jumped out of my car, ran into the bookstore, grabbed a copy of his book, opened it up at random, put my finger on a passage that was supposedly God talking, read it, and the tears came to my eyes.
See?
No human being could have written that.
Right.
That was distinctly God speaking.
Right.
So I bought the book. I rushed home. I sped through it in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he had written a trilogy, book 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't have enough money for the next 2 books, and this was my food money, the last of my food money. And I thought, do I need to feed my body or do I need to feed my soul? So I went to a friend, I borrowed some more money, I ran back to the bookstore and bought the next 2 books in the series.
Right.
But it did for me what it did for you. It validated the things I had concluded for myself.
Right.
I couldn't understand why God did allow bad things to happen to good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had come to the conclusion that much of what I had heard in church did not resonate with me.
Sure.
I couldn't believe in a hateful, vengeful, punishing, judgmental God.
No, that was my thoughts as well. Absolutely.
And I decided, since I had my miracle experiences, that God loves us all
sure.
more than we can imagine.
Right.
That he had to be an all-loving God.
Right.
And there was an all-loving God explaining himself in Neil's books.
Absolutely.
And
well,
so I wrote Neil a fan email,
listen,
not realizing.
We got a caller, dear. Can I hold? Put you
sure.
on hold there and let you finish that up in just a second?
Sure.
Somebody's called in and they got a question. Who's calling, please?
Hi, my name's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Do you have a question or comment for Bill?
Well, I guess I was just walking by on my way out and I heard him talk about the money always showed up, you know, when he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the feeling, or I thought, that my money was going to show up for my rent for February 1st,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't show up February 1st, and I am so angry about that. I feel like the universe lied to me.
Oh, wow, Bill, there's one for you.
I know, and I've been trying to sell, like, gift cards and stuff to raise money, and I keep lowering the price. Nobody buys them. I mean, it's just like the financial pipeline is clogged.
Well, maybe
so you feel
good
frustrated by that?
Oh, yeah.
And you feel like maybe God has let you down?
I'm real angry about, I feel like the universe let me down, which I guess could be the same thing as God.
Whatever you call him, Yahweh or
yeah.
Jesus or God or Allah, it doesn't matter,
yeah.
or the universe. He
right.
doesn't care what you call him, just as long as you call him. All right, so let's deal with this for a minute. Would you acknowledge that God or the universe is infallible?
Yes.
Okay, and would you acknowledge that you as a human being might be fallible?
Yes.
Okay, so if there's a breakdown in communication between you and the universe, where do you think the fault lies, with the universe or with fallible you?
Oh, I'd love to say the universe, but it would be
I think it's possible that when you ask for this money, this rent, or whatever it is you're looking for, you really don't believe in your heart that you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay, well, and the sometimes no, do you get it?
Probably not. I haven't really tracked that, but that would be something because money has shown up unexpectedly and in the past. So I would imagine, just by given what I, you know about manifestation, that it would not come if I wasn't believing that it would.
Exactly. So it would be a good exercise for you in the future to track when it does show up and when it doesn't, and what your attitude was prior to it showing up or not showing up.
Okay.
And I promise you that every time it didn't show up, it's because you lost heart. And every time it did show up, it's because you put the issue out of your mind and didn't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
And that's the key.
Okay.
You have to believe. It's very hard. It's the hardest thing for man to do is to believe in advance that his miracle is coming. It takes no money. It takes no strength of arm. It takes no special education to have that depth of faith. But it's the hardest thing for man to do. So what I am suggesting is that, let's say you need next month's rent to show up unexpectedly as well.
Mm-hmm.
Say, thank you, God, for providing my rent money next month. Put the issue totally out of your mind. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Don't doubt. Go on about your life.
Okay.
And if doubt creeps in between that time and when the rent is due, just laugh at yourself and dismiss it from your mind again. No harm done. I promise you the money will be there.
Okay, and then do that with bills that are already past due, I would imagine, too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
God will give you what you need. You will not starve to death in this country. You will get the money you need for whatever your issues are, past bills, current bills, expected bills.
Okay.
Okay, Rebecca?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. This was just really right on time. Like I said, I was just walking by, and I'm like, I got a call about this one. So thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, dear.
Okay, bye.
If you don't mind, Vicki, I think this would be a good point to tell a miracle story.
Well, Bill, you know what? I gotta remind you, dear. We have 2 minutes left of the show. I know this hour has flown by, so, and we have to, I really would like to remind everybody where to get your book, and you can, and I'll give you a moment after we get done with that, and then you can finish up the show, okay?
Sure.
Okay. So I want to remind all of our guests that Bill has a really wonderful book here. It's called Miracles Made Possible, and this book is available on Amazon.com. You can also get this book and read about this book at this website, www.miraclesbook.com, and that's plural. And also, Bill has several appearances in the Pennsylvania area where he'll be doing some workshops on April 11th, 12th, and 13th in Philadelphia, Harrisburg, and also in Westchester. And you can find those websites, links to those websites, on the Visible by Numbers page right there on the front of BBS Radio. So I guess, Bill, you've got 1 minute, and this is all you got for any last words for our audience. So go for it.
All right. Well, I can't tell the story in that short time, but I wanted to share the story of my friend Tony's baby granddaughter who died of an E. coli infection.
Right.
And how we brought her back to life after she had been dead for 40 minutes.
Right.
So well, I'll tell that story at the seminars.
You can tell that story at the seminars. I mean, you've got so many incredible miracles in this book, and I'm sure many more to share with everyone.
Absolutely.
So just one last thing. If you were to just go back over the three things that are criteria for getting a miracle, Bill, tell everybody one more time.
All right. Number one, stand and pray, asking God for whatever you want, whatever, good or bad. Two, believe in advance that you have already received your miracle, whether you can see proof of it or not. And three, while believing, forgive anybody you have anything against in your heart of hearts.
Okay, Bill. And with that, we have to say goodnight. It was wonderful spending this time with you, although it went really fast.
It sure did.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Bill, and also everyone that was listening tonight. Thank you so much, and we'll be back again next week. Good night, everyone. Good night, Bill.
Good night, Vicki. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.
With cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet Show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.
Hi, it's Sam Green from Sam Green the Time Machine. Wishing you all the best and the best of everything that one can offer. Enjoy the music. Be a part of it. Wishing you the best in space and other places. Enjoy the music. I do.
Good evening and welcome to Bloggin' Broadcasting Service. This is Nevin Campanella, introducing you to a new dimension in radio talk show. BBS is the frontline reporting service of the extraordinary and sometimes cataclysmic events which affect our lives. Listen and become aware of the knowledge that has been hidden from your view.
Hey everybody, this is your new friend Julio, and I'm talking to you because I like to listen to BBSRadio.com. I sneak over the border every day, and I go see my girlfriend. She got a computer. Come on now, sing it, girls. Catch you later, unless you catch me later. Bye-bye now.